Welcome to the First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. Now, the Wednesday service.
Good evening. A warm welcome to those who have joined us this evening in the church auditorium, on the listen line, and those who have connected via Zoom. The members of this church pray for and expect healing. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 414. This is the second verse. I love to tell the story, 'tis pleasant to repeat, what seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story. It is my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Hymn number 414.
Jesus and his love.
The Bible, Exodus. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Acts. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue disputing with Stephen, and they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard of many by this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house. And putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Paul and certain other prisoners were delivered unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship, they launched, and the next day they touched at Sidon. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me.' And falling into a place where two seas met, They ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. 2 Corinthians. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Isaiah. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Revelation. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Alleluia. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. I shall now read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Salvation. Life, truth, and love understood and demonstrated as supreme over all. Sin, sickness, and death destroyed. God is the same yesterday and today and forever. And he who is immutably right will do right without being reminded of his providence. Who would stand before a blackboard and pray the principle of mathematics to solve the problem? The rule is already established, and it is our task to work out the solution. Shall we ask the divine principle of all goodness to do his own work? His work is done, and we have only to avail ourselves of God's rule in order to receive his blessing, which enables us to work out our own salvation. Work out your own salvation is a demand of life and love, for to this end God worketh with you. Occupy till I come. Wait for your reward, and be not weary in well-doing. If your endeavors are beset by fearful odds, and you receive no present race, if you receive no present reward, go not back to error, nor become a sluggard in the race. When the smoke of battle clears away, you will discern the good you have done and receive according to your deserving. We cannot choose for ourselves, but must work out our salvation in the way Jesus taught. In meekness and might, he was found preaching the gospel to the poor. Pride and fear are unfit to bear the standard of truth, and God will never place it in such hands. Now, cried the apostle, is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Meaning, not that now men must prepare for a future world salvation or safety, but that now is the time in which to experience that salvation in spirit and in life. Now is the time for so-called material pains and material pleasures to pass away, for both are unreal, because impossible in science. To break this earthly spell, mortals must get the true idea and divine principle of all that really exists and governs the universe harmoniously. Our Master fully and finally demonstrated divine science in his victory over death and the grave. Jesus' deed was for the enlightenment of man and for the salvation of the whole world from sin, sickness, and death. Paul writes, "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the seeming death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Jesus could have given his temporal life into his enemies' hands, but when his earth mission was accomplished, his spiritual life, indestructible and eternal, was found forever the same. He knew that matter had no life, and that real life is God. Therefore, he could no more be separated from his spiritual life than God could be extinguished. His consummate example was for the salvation of us all, but only through doing the works which he did and taught others to do. His purpose in healing was not alone to restore health, but to demonstrate his divine principle. Do you say the time has not yet come in which to recognize soul as substantial and able to control the body? Remember Jesus, who nearly 19 centuries ago demonstrated the power of spirit and said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also." And who also said, "But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is a day of salvation," said Paul. The Pharisees of old thrust the spiritual idea and the man who lived it out of their synagogues and retained their materialistic beliefs about God. Jesus' system of healing received no aid nor approval from other sanitary or religious systems, from doctrines of physics or of divinity, and it has not yet been generally accepted. Today, as of yore, unconscious of the reappearing of the spiritual idea, blind belief shuts the door upon it and condemns the cure of the sick and sinning if it is wrought on any but a material and a doctrinal theory. Anticipating this rejection of idealism, of the true idea of God, this salvation from all error, physical and mental, Jesus asked, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Knowing that soul and its attributes were forever manifested through man, the Master healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, feet to the lame, thus bringing to light the scientific action of the divine mind on human minds and bodies, and giving a better understanding of soul and salvation. Jesus healed sickness and sin by one and the same metaphysical process. If sickness is real, it belongs to immortality. If true, it is a part of truth. Would you attempt, with drugs or without, to destroy a quality or condition of truth? But if sickness and sin are illusions, the awakening from this mortal dream or illusion will bring us into health, holiness, and immortality. This awakening is the forever coming of Christ, the advanced appearing of truth, which casts out error and heals the sick. This is the salvation which comes through God, the divine principle, love, as demonstrated by Jesus. By interpreting God as a corporeal savior, but not as a saving principle or divine love, we shall continue to seek salvation through pardon and not through reform, and resort to matter instead of spirit for the cure of the sick. As mortals reach, through knowledge of Christian Science, a higher sense, they will seek to learn, not from matter, but from the divine principle God, how to demonstrate the Christ truth as a healing and saving power. universal salvation rests on progression and probation and is unattainable without them. Heaven is not a locality, but a divine state of mind in which all the manifestations of mind are harmonious and immortal, because sin is not there, and man is found having no righteousness of his own, but in possession of the mind of the Lord, as the scripture says. Paul was not at first a disciple of Jesus, but a persecutor of Jesus' followers. When the truth first appeared to him in science, Paul was made blind, and his blindness was felt. But spiritual light soon enabled him to follow the example and teachings of Jesus, healing the sick and preaching Christianity throughout Asia Minor, Greece, and even in Imperial Rome. Saul of Tarsus beheld the way, the Christ or truth, only when his uncertain sense of right yielded to a spiritual sense, which is always right. Then the man was changed. Thought assumed a nobler outlook, and his life became more spiritual. He learned the wrong that he had done in persecuting Christians, whose religion he had not understood. And in humility, he took the new name of Paul. He beheld for the first time the true idea of love and learned a lesson in divine science. The Bible contains a recipe for all healing. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Sin and sickness are both healed by the same principle. The tree is typical of man's divine principle, which is equal to every emergency, offering full salvation from sin, sickness, and death. Sin will submit to Christian science when, in place of modes and forms, the power of God is understood and demonstrated in the healing of mortals, both mind and body. Perfect love casteth out fear. The struggle for truth makes one strong instead of weak, resting instead of wearying one. If the belief in death were obliterated and the understanding obtained that there is no death, this would be a tree of life, known by its fruits. Man should renew his energies and endeavors and see the folly of hypocrisy, while also learning the necessity of working out his own salvation. When it is learned that disease cannot destroy life, and that mortals are not saved from sin or sickness by death, this understanding will quicken into newness of life. It will master either a desire to die or a dread of the grave, and thus destroy the great fear that besets mortal existence. Christ, truth, gives mortals temporary food and clothing until the material, transformed with the ideal, disappears, and man is clothed and fed spiritually. St. Paul says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." This truth is Christian science. Revelation 12:10-12. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. For victory over a single sin, we give thanks and magnify the Lord of hosts. What shall we say of the mighty conquest over all sin? A louder song, sweeter than has ever before reached high heaven, now rises clearer and nearer to the great heart of Christ. For the accuser is not there, and love sends forth her primal and everlasting strain." Let's join together for a few moments of silent prayer, then repeat aloud the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Let's sing our next hymn, hymn number 350. This is the second verse. Though we pass through tribulation, all will be well. Ours is such a full salvation, all must be well. Happy still, in God confiding, fruitful when in Christ abiding, holy through the Spirit's guiding, all is well. Hymn number 350. Thank you again for joining us this evening. This church is one of the many worldwide branches of the Mother Church, the First Church of Christ Scientist in Boston, Massachusetts. Sunday services are held here at 10:30 a.m. Sunday school is held at the same time for children up to the age of 20. Child care is provided for those too young for Sunday school. If you would like to listen to audio replays of our most recent Wednesday evening testimony meetings, go to our church website, carmelcs.org, and click on the Media tab at the top of the page. Then choose Wednesday Service Archive from the drop-down menu, where you will find a list of the recent replays available. This is now your time to share experiences, testimonies, or remarks on Christian Science. If you're in the church auditorium, just give David a wave and he will bring you the microphone. If you are on Zoom, unmute yourself and then remember to mute yourself when you are finished. Well, Shirley and I were saved tonight with the Zoom. It wasn't working right. And between the two of us, we got it working. And I'm so glad that we have people online and that you can hear us. So that was my one gratitude for salvation. One of the things that I don't really have a healing other than if you equate being always growing and listening and hearing the word. I'm so grateful for the lesson tonight. Thank you very much. But I had never really thought about the, it kept coming to me that the opposite of salvation is the blindness of everything. And in your readings, there were a lot of reference to that. And I'd always thought maybe of salvation more of a, you know, like being saved like we were tonight. But it's really, it's your thought. It's your perception of whether or not you are saved. And I'm just so grateful for that, to open your eyes. The salvation's already there. And just like the truth was already there for Paul, Saul, and that he was so willing and so ready to open his eyes. And boy, what did he do for our movement? I just am so still growing in awe of his role that he played in our history of Christianity. So I don't really have anything other than just these thoughts that ran through my little head through the a service tonight. And I'm so grateful for our church. Thanks.
Thank you.
One of the reasons I love the story of Paul is it shows us that no matter what someone does, they can be saved. I know so many times we sometimes are tempted to think that we've done something and we don't deserve it, or we're not worthy, we cannot be saved, or that other people have done things that were so horrible that they cannot be saved. But this story, Bible story, just proves that that's not true. That doesn't mean people are not held accountable for certain things, but that just shows that, you know, through the love of God, our Savior, you know, we can be saved. I was very grateful for an opportunity I had a couple of days ago. I hadn't slept very well, and so I laid down on the couch, take a little quick nap, and the phone rang, and I kind of woke up like, you know, what day is it? Where am I? And in trying to get to the phone, because I knew it was going to be Kent, I caught my foot on something and fell on the floor, the hard wooden floor, and right on the side of my leg by my knee. And it was extremely painful, so I had to kind of scoot to the phone, and of course it was Kent, and I told him what happened, and I knew he said he would be supporting me. And so when I got done off the phone, the thought came to go back and lay down another rest on my nap. And I'm thinking, okay, that sounds like an odd thing to do, but I did. And when I laid down, I eventually got to the couch, laid down, and I just lay there and I started singing hymns and thinking every good thought I could think, and I fell back asleep. And when I woke up, I got up and I did not feel everything seemed to be working. I did not have any pain. I, for a while, resisted the urge to look at it, but then I did. I looked at it and I thought it was a huge knot. I thought, oh, that was, you know, I knew I shouldn't have looked at it, but I did. And so I just, with Kent's help, I continued to pray and know that this was not true about me. And by the next morning, I had no soreness, no anything. I did still seem to have some pain when I knelt down, but I continued to work. And by the next morning, it was gone. There was no pain, nothing, no knot, nothing was there. And so I was very grateful for that, that proof that we are in God's protecting care and all the time. And we are certainly protected from anything material that happens to us.
Yes, thank you. And also, the readings were great about Saul becoming Paul, etc. That was really great. I've recently been reading, well, I've finished the Amplified Edition of Mary Baker Eddy, Christian Healer, and then I've read another biography of Mary Baker Eddy, and it's amazing all of the healings that were accomplished. I think it says in the frontispiece about the Amplified Edition of Mary Baker Eddy, I think there are 300 healings that she accomplished in that particular book. And then I've got a goal to start with Science and Health from start to finish, and recalled it's been a good number of years since I set that as a goal, but when I accomplished it, thinking about setting that goal, it reminded me of when I read it through a number of years ago. At the same time that I finished reading it, there was a tender spot on my finger, and it opened up, and there was small piece of glass that came out, and demonstration complete. But it's just interesting to recall that experience and how that unfolded. And so I'm looking forward to my new goal. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you. I have a testimony that I'd like to share from the April 2024 issue of the Christian Science Journal, Healed of Contagious Disease. I was a senior in college when I was informed of a measles outbreak on campus. Upon hearing this news, I tried to pray as I had learned in Christian Science, but I struggled with fear. I felt as though I were breathing in an impure atmosphere and couldn't escape. Within a few days, I was showing symptoms of measles and was admitted to a healthcare facility on campus where I remained in isolation in accordance with local laws. As a lifelong Christian Scientist, having found the practice of Christian Science to be wholly effective, I contacted a Christian Science practitioner for metaphysical treatment. After a short time, complications developed, including loss of the use of my arms and legs. However, at one point, I remembered a statement from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy that I don't recall ever specifically committing to memory. The illusion of material sense, not divine law, has bound you, entangled your free limbs, crippled your capacities, enfeebled your body, and to face the tablet of your being. Page 227. Suddenly I felt very calm and unafraid. I had learned that I was made in God's image and likeness, as stated in Genesis 1, and am therefore spiritual and perfect. The man of God's creating can never become injured, contaminated, or diseased. This is a true spiritual man, God's expression. The material sense of man is subject to disease, and death is false, that which seems to be but is not. So even though I was experiencing symptoms, I knew I didn't have to accept what the physical senses were telling me. With this realization, I became more alert. I soon gained confidence in the spiritual truth that the entire picture of disease was an illusion, false in every way, and had nothing to do with me. With the practitioner's unwavering support, I accepted only what spiritual sense was telling me, and affirmed that as an immortal idea of God, I was pure, uncontaminated, and entirely free. Within a short time, I had use of my limbs again. Another passage in Science and Health was very helpful. If you decide that climate or atmosphere is unhealthy, it will be so to you. Your decisions will master you, whichever direction they take. Reverse the case. Stand porter at the door of thought, admitting only such conclusions as you wish realized in bodily results, you will control yourself harmoniously. When the condition is present which you say induces disease, whether it be air, exercise, heredity, contagion, or accident, then perform your office as porter and shut out these unhealthy thoughts and fears. Page 392. I continue to stand porter and watch my thoughts, reversing all the suggestions material sense presented to me. I knew the spiritual fact was that neither I nor anyone else had ever breathed in an unhealthy atmosphere or could ever be at risk of catching a disease. Identifying myself as wholly spiritual, as God created me, I was completely free from every symptom of the measles in about a week. This healing greatly increased my trust in God's complete care for all of us. I am deeply grateful for all the many healings I have had through prayer in Christian Science. And this testimony was submitted by Stephanie from Missouri.
Thank you for the readings and for sharing that testimony, because it reminded me of last week when Nancy was talking about the different churches that had closed and how their communities were still being blessed and in so many ways. I had heard on the news last week, I think it was Wednesday before the service, that there was a reported case of a childhood disease, whooping cough, in the Westfield schools, and it made the news, and it said that there were these three schools, the parents had all been notified and whatever. So while I was sitting here, I just thought, no, that's, we don't need to accept that for these kids or any. I mean, I always like to remind myself there's no childhood diseases, there's no adult maladies, there's no disease. So, but you know, the world likes to pin things on certain age categories, I guess. But anyway, I was just grateful to be reminded. I haven't heard anything further on this, but I'm still everything
under control.
Thank you again.
Thank you. Let's close our service by singing hymn number 77. God is my strong salvation. What foe have I to fear? In darkness and temptation, my light, my help is near. The hosts encamp around me. Firm in the fight I stand. What terror can confound me with God at my right hand? Hymn number 77. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. You can join us any Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. at our church located at 116th and Haverstick Road in Carmel. Or give us a call on the listen line, 317-688-9898. 317-688-9898. Thanks again for listening.